Hello once again. This is Pastor Bronk Flynn of the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, and I appreciate you joining us for this fifth lesson on the Discipleship Training Manual. And today's lesson is Spiritual Food and the Word of God. So I'm so glad that you have joined us, and once again I want to welcome you to the family of God, to the kingdom of God. And as I said from the very first lesson, is that this is a family. It's not a organization. It's not something that you join, but it's a family. You must be born, just like you were born into your natural family. You must be born into this family. And recently, that's happened to you. Or as I said from the beginning, maybe you're coming back from a long road of being away from the Lord for a good amount of time, and you're coming back and you're saying, "What did I miss? Let me get foundation under me," because it's imperative. It's so important that you get a healthy foundation underneath you for you to be able to last and continue to go forward for the rest of your life. The decision that you've made is a decision for the rest of your life. And so we're so glad. I am just so glad that you're part of the family. I hope to someday meet you. I hope to someday hear from you, your testimony, how you came into the kingdom. Everybody's got a different testimony. But what really matters is that you are here with us, and you're watching this because somebody has recommended this, or you've found it on our website and you've said, "Wow, this is probably what I need to continue to grow or start growing." And so thank you for being with us, and we want to make this as simple as possible, and we want to help you. That's our objective. Our objective is not to sound fancy or with flowery words or big words or make you. We're not trying to present religion to you. We're trying to present, and what we are presenting is a family and Christianity and the family of God. And so we appreciate you being with us again today. I want to recap for just a moment, as we have been doing, because it's important that you continue to hear what you've already heard. And I will remind you, as always, that you have these lessons in front of you that you could always go back and listen time and time again if you didn't get part of one of them. Maybe you had a question. You can go back and you can just continue to watch these again and again. They're all free at our website. There's no charge. There's never, ever any charge for anything that we do. What we're after is not something from you, but we want to give something to you, and that is knowledge, the understanding of the Lord, and the Word of God of how to continue to grow and be nurtured in the Lord. The first lesson, lesson one that we did, for you it may have been just the last lesson, but the first one we started out with, number one, was what just happened to me? And that's a question, and that's a question that we tried to thoroughly answer for you, and saying, what happens to someone when they are born again? Or you may hear the term committed to Christ, or saved, or salvation. So we went through that and explained to you as thoroughly as possible in just a few moments, is that you were transformed by the nature of Christ. Something happened to you instantaneously, and we went through some terms, and those terms we said were important not for knowledge's sake, but for your understanding. It wasn't important that you, the term didn't save you or didn't give you eternal life, but it gave you an explanation of what happened. One of those terms was born again, and we explained what born again was, that you actually were spiritually born again. And we explained why the necessity for you to be born again, why every man or woman born into the world needed a Savior, and how that Christ Jesus became that Savior. And your acceptance of what He did for you in faith gave you the opportunity to truly be born again. We also talked about new creation. What does new creation mean? It means the same thing really as born again, in that something happened to you that totally, totally changed who you are. And when I say totally changed who you are, and I'm not talking about your outward person or the way you looked, or changed your necessarily your personality, but it changed the real you, and the real you we took time to explain was the spiritual you, and the spiritual you was instantaneously changed through what we explained was a born-again experience. So after that, we also had what just happened to me, lesson two, where we continue to thoroughly talk about new appetites. And I'm not talking about physical appetites, but new moral appetites, some things that you wanted to do as a result of this decision, and some of the things that you didn't want to do anymore as a result of this decision. We haven't taken the time to thoroughly define all those. A list could go on and on of the things that now just innately, and when I say the word innately, I mean just by kind of on the inside, a want to. There's some want to's that were created inside of you the moment that you received Christ, and there's some don't want to's now that you received Christ. And it's important that you follow the want to's, and it's important that you follow the part of you that says, I don't want to do that anymore. That's not necessary, and it's not something that would please me or please God. Lesson three, we talked about for a little bit, we talked about how important three keys were to your spiritual growth. And those three keys were the Word of God, baptism in the Holy Ghost, and going to church. Real quickly, we're gonna cover more extensively tonight the Word of God and how important that is. But we talked about the Word of God, and then we talked about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and how that actually was different from your salvation, but how that it worked absolutely together with your salvation to make up a new person and cause you to be able to go forward in spiritual growth. Then the other thing that we said was vital to your spiritual growth is that you go to church, that you attend church on a regular basis. And sometimes for a lot of different people, that means not a physical location. Maybe you can't find a physical location or get here to this particular locale, but you can watch us online and you can share in every service. We actually have now three services a week. We have Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then one Sunday night, which is our prayer service and the one that really I'm teaching these lessons in. And then also we have a Wednesday night that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can watch those services, and there's a lot of other places I can recommend in the future. But for now, let me just say it's imperative. It's very, very important for you to be in church because it's a place of spiritual growth. And a lot of people don't teach that anymore. They don't teach, but we went through the Word of God just a little bit and talked about how we can prove from Scripture that one of the real important requirements, really, from the very beginning that the apostles taught was that they said we need to come together on a consistent basis. And for the New Testament church, that was at least once a week. We can actually kind of prove that in Scripture that they were together at least once a week. And then actually from the very beginning, they were actually almost day to day, they were with each other. They were with each other on a continual basis. And so a lot of church for the purpose of growth. Lesson four was last time, and it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In lesson four, we went through who the Holy Spirit was, or Holy Ghost, however you want to say it. Those two terms are exactly the same, speaking of the same person, the third person of the Godhead, which is the Holy Ghost. And we talked about how important it is who he is, but also to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, we established what salvation is, which is when the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit and completely changes you. But then there is the word baptism, and the word baptism means to be immersed or fully immersed. I don't know any better word, and that's actually in the original, completely saturated by the Holy Spirit in the new person that you became. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit is called the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we went through scriptures to tell you that Jesus said you should seek this, you should find this, the Holy Spirit. It's not a this, but a person. But you should seek the Holy. You should seek the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they did, and were received. And now also we know from Scripture that gift never has to be sought, as in waiting on time, but can also be received simultaneously with your born-again experience. When the Holy Spirit baptizes you, He not only He has already come in and created the house. I'm going to use those terms. He created a house for Himself to live in. Then He comes in and fills up the walls of that house completely from wall to wall with Himself. But He brings with Him an incredible package. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is what we understand by the Word of God as praying or speaking in other tongues. And it's actually the initial physical evidence of the baptism. In other words, if you're baptized, you do have the capacity or the capability to then begin to pray in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And we talked about how that I can't teach you that language, but I can pray for you and you can receive it and the Holy Spirit will give the utterance. In other words, He creates that language, and we did a lot to explain that last week. He'll create that language, and out of your spirit will begin to flow this incredible language. It'll start sometimes slow for some, rapid for others, but no one has the same prayer language, but it's vitally important. And this language comes initially for the purpose of the baptism of power. Jesus said you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There's many different other applications for baptism in the Holy Spirit, many different reasons, revelation of the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, being able to walk in all of the gifts and callings that God has for you. But the first and foremost understanding of why I need to be baptized is so I can pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit can issue or give me power to become a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we had a practical application of that last time, and that was we prayed for you, we led you in a prayer, we taught on systematically how you could be baptized, and then after we prayed for you. And we pray that many of you were filled, or if you had a hesitation of yourself, maybe you thought you had been filled before and there's a hesitation, you'd only got a couple of words, we believed with you that there would be an activation where you'd be just be able to flow in many different words and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. So that's vitally important. If you didn't get it all of that, go back and listen to it again. And as you come to church, you're going to hear many lessons on the Holy Spirit. And these lessons here, really, that we're giving you, all these practical lessons and foundational lessons, are just to kind of invite you to come on over to church. This is what's happened to you. This is what you need. This is where you need to start. But it's like the skeleton, and then we're going to help put in all of the meat and the muscle and all of the skin and the hair and just help complete you through Christ as a one complete person in the Lord. This lesson today is lesson 5, and it's called Spiritual Food and the Word of God. Let me talk about natural food just for a moment to all of us. It's so vital that babies, when they're born, get the breast milk from their mother, or if a mother can't feed them or chooses not to, that she provides the necessary nutrients for that baby to grow. And this is exactly what is necessary for spiritual babies as well. If you are a human being, and whether as a little baby especially, or as an adult, if you don't eat food, especially during adolescence, you will not grow. You'll just, you know, not having food will slow down the process of growth. And if you don't get food, eventually, the ultimate end of not having food is actually starving to death. And that's an extreme illustration, but nevertheless is true. Physical human beings absolutely have to have physical food to grow, and that starts from the day that they're born. I mean, within hours, little babies must be fed from their mothers. And it is vitally important for you as a baby Christian to understand that it is imperative that you get spiritual food. Well, the spiritual food that we're talking about today is the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute food for the spirit person. I'll pick up my Bible from underneath this podium and hold it in my hand and say, this is written word or Bible, but it's also food. It's also vital food for my spirit person, the person that I've described that has been born again. In fact, of truth, I should say, Jesus described that we were babies when we come into the kingdom of God, because he said, you must be born again. Well, this is a brief and accurate description of how the humans are born into this world. That's natural, that's physical, but the spiritual part of you that the Holy Spirit changed from a dead creature or creation that had the sin nature in it, that wanted to do bad things and dark things, has instantaneously been changed. But it doesn't stop there. It's so important that you receive the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, there is a book, and the book is the Bible, and the Bible translates into pure food, spiritual food for the adolescent Christian or the adult Christian. It's spiritual food that we must feed on all the time, not just when you're babies, but it's vitally important that as a baby and as a newborn Christian, and that's who I believe I'm speaking to, and maybe even those who are more developed but need these messages, you need the Word of God. You need a continual diet of being fed the Word of God. Your spirit requires spiritual food just like your body requires physical food. Let me say that again. Your spirit requires spiritual food just like your body requires physical food. If you do not feed your spirit spiritual food, it will not grow and it will become weak and sickly. Your spirit will become weak and sickly if you do not feed it the Word of God, and it will not grow. The spirit is born with a righteous disposition, a complete righteous person, and it has a disposition for righteousness. In other words, it has a want to, because that's what it is. But your spirit person must grow, and there's many different aspects to that growth. And the Word of God is spiritual food for you. Your spirit craves. If you'll allow it, it craves spiritual food, just like people have cravings for sweets or meats or different things. Your spirit, really, if you can listen to it after you're born again, it craves spiritual food. Or in other words, it craves the Word of God. It craves really practically very much two things: prayer, which is talking to God, communion or communication with God, and then it craves God's Word, or God talking to you, or God speaking to you. And it craves these things. So my encouragement to all of you and us is to give your spirit what it craves. You can't always give your body what it craves, because some things are not good for your body. But if you give your body prayer, and if you give your body the Word of God, you're always giving it the basic nutrition that it needs for spiritual growth. Jesus said this. Let me just tell you what Jesus said, and this is in Matthew 4:4. I'm just going to read it for you. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, that's natural food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, I hold this Bible. This is every word that's given to humanity for the purpose of you knowing who God is and what God desires for your life. And so Jesus said this, and he actually spoke this to the devil in a time of temptation. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but he understood that you have to have bread. That's why he said not alone. He didn't say man shall not live by bread. He just said bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's vitally important that we understand that there is the physical nutrients and there is the spiritual nutrients. And the Word of God is so vital for you to read and to be allowing it to be digested into your life. The Word is your life resource. Now, I'm going to read this. This is out of 1 Peter 2:2. You're going to find more of a closer, I want to say, you're going to learn more about the specifics of this verse in the future. But for right now, just to make this application, I want you to hear this. As newborn babes, hey, that's you. That's you. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You could say the sincere milk of the Bible for the application that I'm speaking about right now, that you may grow thereby. Desire the Word of God. Desire the milk. Right now you need milk. Right now you need the formula of God's nutrients coming through you. And I can tell you, this is more than just, this is not watered down milk. This is strong milk that will interpret into strong meat for you in the future and will help you to grow incredibly. Jesus also said concerning the Word of God. Now, there is a deeper interpretations of these, but for you, for right now, I just want you to get this and how important the Word of God is. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, the sower soweth the Word. Well, the Word is really the Bible, and it's not wrong for me to take this. It's not a misinterpretation for the purpose of me teaching you to say, I'm going to insert the Bible here in these next few verses so that you understand how important it is to read your Bible and how that you need to use your Bible to grow. Jesus said this, the sower, that's the farmer, sows the Word. I want to say this, as I said, the sower sows the Bible. First of all, that could mean preachers or teachers or people that are teaching you. But you're the first sower. You're the first person in your life that is most responsible for getting the Word of God, even beyond a pastor, even beyond a teacher. The Bible was given to all of us for the purpose of being able to read it. So you're the sower. You're the farmer. You're the person who gets to put the Word of God into your life more than anyone else. And you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to go to the Bible college. All those things can be good. They can be wonderful applications. But because you are born again and hopefully Spirit-filled, because the Holy Spirit will help you as a teacher, you get to be the sower. Jesus went on to say this, and these are they by the wayside where the Word, or I will say the Bible, is sown. I'm going to just go ahead and use that, the word Bible instead of the Word. And these are they by the wayside where the Bible is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Bible that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have read the Bible or heard the Bible, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And after, when afflictions and persecutions arises for the Bible's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which as hear the Bible or read the Bible, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which hear or read the Bible and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. You're going to understand those verses a whole lot more in the future. But let me just say real quickly, as we're doing this brief lesson, is that if you sow the Word, read it. If you sowing the Word just simply means to read the Word, if you do that, you're going to ensure your future for years to come. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have many opportunities, as Jesus listed, for you to get diverted, go someplace else, or find other interests. But if you sow the Bible or the Word of God into your heart and into your mind, it'll get so strong, and once it begins to mature, you are guaranteeing your future. You're guaranteeing yourself, I'm always going to be serving the Lord. I'm always going to be a Christian. Here's the practical application for tonight. Number one, get a Bible. You have to have a Bible. Now, you can get a Bible. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You can get a Bible, of course, by going to the store, getting one. Maybe somebody's given you a Bible. We'll talk about which ones to have, which ones are important. The second thing is, if you've got a Bible, read the Bible. It's important that you read the Bible. Well, I'm not a pastor. You're born again now. This is God's Word. You're God's child. He wants you to read His Word. Read it or listen to it. There are some people that have a seeing impairment. They can't see the Word of God. There are apps now that allow you to listen to the Word of God. Or somebody says, I can't read. Well, praise God for 2022. We are not in the Stone Age anymore. There really is no excuses for anyone not having the Word of God in them. I just can't read, Pastor. We've fixed that. That's been fixed now for several years. Can you push a button? If you can push a button, you can hear all the Word of God that you possibly can contain. Purchase a Bible. You can purchase a printed Bible. You can go to Walmart. You can go to any place, and there's always available Bibles. You don't need a fancy Bible. You don't need one with a whole lot of commentaries in there. You just need a Bible. Purchase a Bible or purchase a Bible app on your smart device. And I highly recommend a Bible app called eSword. eSword is really good, and it also comes in an audible portion of it. In other words, if you get the app and you say, I'm still not a great reader, I'm a slow reader, then it's got an audio portion on there. And there are many, many Bible apps now that have that audio portion. So if you don't choose eSword, that's fine, but there are many ones. And even if you're a good reader, and then you've got your sight, you're a good reader, there'll be many times that you can be doing something and you can be driving. Now, you don't need to be texting while you're driving, but you can listen to the Word of God, because that won't occupy your hands or anything. You don't have to be reading it, but you can be listening to it. The question is, or should be a good question for you to ask, or let me ask it for you and then answer it: which Bible translation should I use? Let me tell you this, that there is one called the King James Version, or I would also give way to saying the New King James Version. The New King James Version is the King James Version, but the New King James Version takes some of the Elizabethan, which is the King James of 1611, their speech, the way that they spoke. And somebody said, well, I don't want to necessarily, I don't speak Old English. No, I understand that. But let me tell you why you want to purchase a King James or a New King James. The New King James puts it in more modern language, but doesn't really destroy the translation. The King James or Authorized Version of the Bible remains the most widely published text in the English language. It was the work of around 50 scholars. These are 50 scholars of both the Hebrew and the Greek. And the Hebrew was the Old Testament, the Greek was the New. So there was around 50 scholars who were appointed in 1604 by King James, who reigned from 1603 to 1625, and it is dedicated to him. That's hence why it has his name. Until the mid-1500s, attempts to give lay people, that's the people that sit in the pew, and probably most of you, until the 1500s, attempts to give people access to the English language Bible had resulted in severe punishment. Really, people lost their lives because they wanted to read the Bible, and the Bible was outlawed, and you could not read it. King James changed all that, along with others as well. And then finally, in 1611, in 1604, he said to these 50 scholars, "Translate these manuscripts, translate them, and translate them accurately. Well, it took them from 1604 to 1611, 50 men working diligently, and they came to an official approved version that also had endured, had an enduring appeal in the King James or the Authorized Version. Now, today there are more than 60 English language versions of the Bible that are available today. So, wow, that's a lot of different versions of the Bible. We can divide these three, or we can divide these versions into three broad types. And this is imperative that you listen to this. The first type is word for word. In other words, there's translators that took the exact word or the word in the Hebrew and translated it exactly as close as possible to the English language. Or when they got to the New Testament, they took that word and translated that word very carefully over to an English word that we would understand. So there's word for word translate, word for word translations. There are meaning to meaning, number two, meaning to meaning, also called thought to thought. And the third type of translation or Bible is paraphrase, and that's the most dangerous of all, because paraphrase means somebody looked at it and said, ah, I think that's what it means, and then they told you what it means in their own words. You don't want a paraphrased Bible. You really don't even want a meaning-to-meaning Bible. The most accurate is still the King James Version, because from all of my study and men that I know who are doctors of theology and have even stronger understanding of the Greek, have continued to reiterate both of the Greek and the Hebrew, that the closest translation of the Bible to date is the King James Version. There is a staunch understanding that you need to get between a translation of the Bible versus an interpretation of the Bible. You don't need an interpretation of the Bible. An interpretation of the Bible is when somebody has read the original and then they tell you what they believe the original is saying. You need the Holy Spirit to tell you that. So what you need is a translation. A translation is you get the exact word that Paul wrote, the exact word that John wrote, the exact word that all the prophets wrote, and then they put it in your language and you get to read it and you get to interpret it according to the mind of the Holy Spirit. So again, the most accurate still to date is the King James Version. You don't want, as I said before, anyone interpreting the Word of God for you. You don't want a translation. You don't want an interpretation. You want a translation. The Bible is in two parts. I'm speaking as if you're really new to this. We're going a little bit over our time tonight, but it's very important for you to get this. So the Bible is divided in two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are 39, we call them books, of the Old Testament, and there are 27 books of the New Testament. The Old Testament is very easy to understand. It's all of the writings before Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the 27 books that are all the writings after Jesus Christ, after he came into the world. So when you get a Bible, physical Bible, paper, or a Bible that has or a Bible on your smart device, you're going to, all of them have a table of contents, and you're going to look at that and you're going to see Old Testament, New Testament. So it's, where do I start? Where do I start, Pastor? Here's where you start. You start in the New Testament, the 27 books. And where do I start in the New Testament? Well, here's where you need to start. You need to start in the Gospels. Well, what are the Gospels? The Gospel are the first four books of the New Testament. The first one you'll see is Matthew. The next one you'll see is Mark. The next one you'll see is Luke. And the next one you'll see is John. Now, these are all apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew actually was one of the 12 disciples, and he actually walked with Jesus. So he got a chance to later journal everything, and he actually was able to write out the sayings of Christ and say just what Jesus said. Mark was not one of the disciples, but Mark followed very close. We have scripture that Mark was around the vicinity of the disciples while Jesus was on the planet, and he was a young man that was around there, so he may not have been listed as one of the original 12, but he also was one that was around Christ all the time. Luke was not one of the 12 either. Luke wrote much of the Word of God. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. He was not one of the original 12, but again, he learned a lot from the original 12, and he got the exact sayings of Christ. And of course, John was with Christ from the very beginning of his ministry and got a firsthand experience. And so all of these men were either direct disciples or people that were very close to Christ while he was here on this planet. So 39 books of the Old, 27 of the New, and you need to start in the New Testament. You need to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So having said that, it does not matter. This is very important. It does not matter that you understand everything you read. I know in school, if you're going to pass the test, you need to understand everything you read. But here's the difference. This is spiritual food. When you take this Bible and read it, there'll be a lot of things that, to start with, you may not quite understand. And I know, they're in the King James, and there's a lot of these and thous and all those kinds of things. And if you want to get the New King James, that's fine as well. But it is imperative. Some people say, well, why not just start people out on something that is very modern? Well, because I can tell you this. In those plus 60 translations, there's a lot of error in a lot of those translations. Some of them leave out things. Some of them add a little bit of something. I don't want anything left out, and I don't want anything added when I'm trying to receive the pure Word of God. I want to get it just as close as I possibly can to the original. And again, the best possible one that you have is the King James Version or the New King James Version. So when I'm reading them, I might not understand everything, but this is where it's different than school that you went to where you had to understand everything to pass the test. This is spiritual food. So your mind might not understand it, but your spirit is getting fed. And so that's very important, that even if your mind says, I don't know exactly what I just read, because you're going to read some things at times where you're saying, I don't know what that means. We're going to talk to you later about assimilation and how assimilation will cause everything to dovetail, and you'll begin to understand things in the future. But for right now, it's very important that you read. You just simply read the Word of God because it's spiritual food. And again, even if your brain doesn't get it, your spirit or your heart will get it. So continue to remember it's spiritual food. Your spirit will love it even if your brain doesn't get it. Set goals every day. I'm surprised how many people that are Christians who don't read the Word of God. And they wonder why they're spiritually weak. It's not rocket science. This is your food, and this is what you should eat. And if you eat it, like your mom says, if you eat your vegetables, you'll stay healthy. If you eat your word, if you take the word, you'll stay healthy. So set goals each day. I would suggest this: set goals by chapters or set goals by time. You can do it either way. These are suggestions now. These are not mandates. You can set goals by time or chapters because every book has chapters. So what's your recommendation? I would just recommend, and again, this is not a commandment, and there's no commandment in the Word on this, but I would suggest at least 30 minutes of reading the Bible on a daily basis. Now, you may increase that, and you may have days where you get very little, but I would make that my goal. I would make that at least my starting goal, is to read at least 30 minutes of the Word or at least 5 chapters of the Word. Either way, Some people are fast readers, and five chapters doesn't equivocate to 30 minutes, but some people are slower readers, and they kind of pause to try to figure out what they have read. And again, if you can't figure it out, listen, I've got grandkids. I can tell when their brains are growing. And by the time they're at about three or four, and this was with my daughters as well, when they get to where they're asking question after question, well, why? But why? But why? And it's not rebellion. Their brain is growing. And you've been born again, and your spiritual brain is growing. Don't get frustrated when you get a whole bunch of questions like, but why? But why? But why? What does this mean? What does this mean? That means your spirit is growing. All those things are going to be answered. Come to church. They're going to be answered. But 30 minutes or five chapters, either way, and you can always increase that if you'd like. That's up to you. Use a paper marker. These are practical applications or practical suggestions as well, I would say. Use a paper marker in your Bible, or if you're using an electronic device, what I do is if I'm reading and I get to a place, because what if I miss the next day, or what if I'm really busy, or what if I can't remember? So what I do is as soon as I get done reading, I just click a screenshot, and as soon as my screenshot is there, it's in my photos. So I know where I'm at the next day or the next morning when I want to start reading the Word of God. So I'm like, now where was I at yesterday? And, oh, yeah, photos. So I go to my photos, look at my screenshot, and the screenshot says you were in chapter such and such. And so I go on from there. So that gives you some practical suggestions of how to go forward. You're going to have many questions, as I said, but that is growth. So hallelujah. The next thing is just to get started and start growing. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Amen.